And notice all my used underwear was missing.
Huh?
I know I did not misplace three sets. And lots of people have been working on a big project all week.
How did she have three pair of stank underwear in her drawer?
Desk drawer?
They probably, it was a health hazard.
Yeah, probably they probably did a drew straws. Who was going to take it and throw it out?
Welcome to Hey You Know It. My name is Jaquetta Sotmar, and I'm here with my co-host,
Katie Kazmir. Hey You Know It is a podcast that tells you how it is or how it should be.
You can listen to Hey You Know It on iTunes, a new episode every Monday.
And here they are, Jaquetta and Katie.
It's going to be
nice.
It's going to be out there. All right. So we want to start off with a really awesome listener mail that we got.
And yes.
If you send us listener mail or you give us a 5-star review on iTunes, we will send you a shot glass. We have like 2 left.
That's it.
This is the end.
Offer ends soon.
The offer ends soon. I don't know if there's going to be
and
more.
And if you have one, you know you have one.
Yeah. And that's all we can say about that. You know, it's a limited edition, people.
Yeah. Okay, so this is a listener mail. From Grace. Yes, thank you so much for writing us.
Yeah, this is all of our listener mails are awesome, but this has a special awesomeness to it.
Yes, Grace, I can't believe you found this.
Yes. How did you find it?
Yeah, right?
Why did you find
it? This is hilarious. Okay, hello ladies, hope all is well. Ran across this article on Facebook and wondered how this is to get you out of bed. As always, great job on the show.
Thank you.
Grace, P.S., for those who do not own any Apple products, is there any other way we can give you a 5-star rating?
Oh, I don't know about that.
I would say...
You can give us a rating on Stitcher.
Stitcher, you could do that.
Yeah.
Or you can tell one of your friends who has iTunes to come
rate them for us.
Yeah.
But you can give us a rating on Stitcher.
Yeah.
Yeah. And feedback as well.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Okay, so you sent us this link, Grace, to the Little Rooster Alarm Clock.
Okay, and I like that it's called a Little Rooster because that really gives you an idea about what it does. Because a rooster is also known as a cock.
Yeah, right. So. It's an alarm clock that wakes you up with an orgasm. Yes. Ladies, if you have trouble waking up in the morning or hate the sounds of an annoying alarm clock, here are more pleasurable alternatives. It's the Little Rooster Alarm Clock, and it wakes you up in the right places.
How? Do you have to wear this thing, or this thing is self-activating?
It is.
Notices you're waking up. It hops in.
You put it in your panties.
Okay.
And it's
the
not,
whole thing.
The whole thing goes in your panties.
Is it just a vibrator with a clock on the end of it?
That's basically
what I'm imagining.
I'll show you a picture of what it looks like. It looks like basically, what does it look like?
Ew.
Oh, I forgot about this picture.
Okay. Whoa.
It looks.
What the fuck is that? What is that it?
It's an artist's rendering of a woman.
It looks like an Egon Schiele drawing, and then a woman, a spread eagle. Fully clothed, okay?
Except pants.
And then where the opening of her vagina is, there's like what looks like a thermometer with a flag on it or something.
It's superimposed on top of her vagina. And it's the weirdest picture I think I've ever seen.
So it's basically an insert.
No, it's not. You don't put it in. You put it up against your
How does it stay on during the... Oh, you slip
panties.
It into your panties.
You slip it in your panties, and it's pressed up against you.
Okay.
So it's not in you.
Uh-huh.
It's on you.
And then 9:30 comes, boom,
right.
And so do you, I guess.
Right.
That's how this thing works.
Basically.
There's no way women are just going to be... If it works, women are going to be wearing this all the time. You're going to see women falling all over the place throughout the day.
So here is... the one version for $59 is...
just a slight orgasm. Titillation.
Right. The product is worn externally, as we talked about. It's shaped for all position comfort and stays in place however much you move. I don't buy that.
You gotta stay still during the act.
You have to just stay. If it's just in your panties, I don't think it's gonna be like.
I don't think it's gonna stay on. Is there an adhesive? No? Okay.
No.
I'm just asking.
Starts extremely gently so you can wake deliciously slow.
I don't have time for that. I gotta be up and out.
I know, right? 30 seconds from. 30 seconds. 30 settings from butterfly to beast.
Oh, wow. Oh, yes, that familiar scale from butterfly to beast.
Okay. There is snorgasm, the sensual...
Snorgasm?
The sensual power snooze for erotic morning dreams.
So this is like... you just keep tapping it?
Yeah, like you need another 9 minutes.
Wow.
It's rechargeable, so you never need batteries. And then you will receive your little rooster alarm clock vibrator in a beautiful gift box, discreetly packaged and shipped.
I wanted to say what it is on the cover so everybody knows I'm getting it. I want the UPS guy to know how I wake up in the morning.
Okay. And then you can have the $79 version, which has all of the...
The $79 version also makes coffee and applies makeup. It'll do a blowout once it's done.
It tells you that it loves you. Yeah. This is 70% more powerful. It has 70% more power.
Wow.
That's a lot of power.
So why even have the other one?
Yeah. It has deeper, more throbbing vibrations.
Okay. Yikes.
It's totally silent for 27 levels.
The other three, one, like, whoa.
There's 30 settings, so 27.
The other one is loud. Your neighbors are like, but do you mind?
The other three are like, hey.
There's three of them?
Out of 30 settings, only 27 are silent. The other three.
Yeah. The last one plays a Backstreet Boys song to really get you going.
It's even simpler to set up and use. I don't know how that could be.
What if you make a mistake on this thing?
Oh, my gosh. It has a travel lock, so it vibrates in your panties, not in your purse. So if you're taking it on the go.
Okay.
It's perfect.
The TSA is totally going to stop you for that one.
You can use it in public. You can put it in your pants.
And that's what people are going to be using it for. Stop acting like there's some woman out there who wants to sleep with this thing in her panties. Right. This is for people who just want to use it. It's just a vibrator.
Right.
And an alarm clock. That's great. But no one has a problem with alarm clocks. Like, we've got alarm clocks down.
Yeah.
You know? We're good on alarm clocks.
Slim against your front, slender between your thighs.
Wow.
That's not a summary point. Light against your body.
And it looks you in the eyes.
It stays in place. It's under 2 ounces. You won't even notice it's there until 9 a.m. hits.
The woman in the picture looks, frankly, bored. Like, she just finished a workout, and then some weird thing has attached itself to her vagina.
Yeah, she's like thigh-high leg warmers on.
Yes. It's Jennifer Grey.
Right. And then, what do they say here? They have an interview with the inventor.
Okay.
Tell us about the design and development process. And he says, well, the hardest part was making it comfortable. Vibrators are designed to be used lying down with your legs open. Mm-hmm. As soon as you close your legs or turn on your side, they dig in and twist around. Nobody wants to sleep with an iPhone in their undies.
This is the kind of person who is not, he's just like, okay, there's a problem.
Yeah.
Women can't lay down with a vibrator and close their legs. Right. I have got to do something. Science has to have an answer to this.
They went through 300 prototypes, tested over 3 dozen women with different body shapes to refine this.
That's not a lot of women, by the way, but okay. 36 women. They couldn't find any more.
I know.
They're probably beating them off with a stick.
Okay. Then it says, Little Rooster may not be obviously comfortable to look at, but it fits your body perfectly wherever, whatever sleeping position, and stays in place however much you move around at night. And so he's really pushing this. Yeah. He's going to stay right there.
I love how clinical he is about it. He's like, oh, and by the way, there's also orgasms. But let's talk about the comfort.
Yeah.
Right. You can wear this thing for 48 hours. No recharge, no problem.
Right.
Can I just set it for, it could be an alarm for anything.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, I got to go shopping.
It says, how do men feel about the Little Rooster, considering that many ladies will now prefer waking up to the device rather than them in the morning?
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's going to suck for a guy who wakes up excited and is like, what? This thing literally is a cock block. Like, if you could see it, it's just like a shield over the area that you're trying to get to.
Right. It's like, I'm here. I got here first. Yes. I got here first.
I've been here since Thursday, bitch.
Yeah. It says here, his answer is, a minority of men feel threatened, but most men just love the fact that their partner is in such a great mood in the morning. It makes a great gift because it is sexual, but not overtly so.
Really? What? It's just an alarm clock.
And it's beautifully packaged.
Secret Santa.
And, well, who doesn't like
Secret Santa? Right here, people. Right. This is on your number one gift, inappropriate Secret Santa gifts.
And, well, who doesn't like giving a gift that keeps giving back?
For college students.
Valentine's Day.
For the college student in your life. For the world traveler.
And they said, is there a little rooster version for men? And he's like, we're in beta testing.
The rooster version for men is their hand.
Yeah.
They don't seem to have a problem with it. I don't know.
No, he said, where did the idea for the little rooster come from? No. We simply turned the idea of an alarm clock on its head. Yeah. Most alarm clocks irritate you awake.
Once again, this is probably a guy who was probably like just a regular like that, not overly into sex, but not against it. And he's probably like, you know what? People get annoyed by their alarm clocks. How can we make an alarm clock better? Well, how about a nice chime or maybe like a song that you like? How about an orgasm?
Yeah.
Is that too far afield?
Well, yeah, that's better.
Yeah.
Well, we tried the one with the scents. Like they have to, they're going through all the sensations.
Yeah, but that wasn't enough.
It wasn't enough.
You know? What do people really want in the morning when they wake up?
What
do they want?
What's the best way to wake up?
Yeah, that's what he's thinking.
Yeah.
How would I like to be woken up? Huh. It's not bad. It's a weird, you know, people will probably use it. I dispute whether or not this guy's actually created something that will be used as an alarm clock.
Right.
I think it will just be, you know, the time
just
is now.
Used. Yeah, right, right.
It'll just be used.
And somebody else wrote in saying that she uses it on the train on her way to work because she falls asleep and sleeps through her stop and is late for work.
But then she wakes up screaming?
She
keeps it on a low setting.
It's on, yeah, so it's on a timer. So, okay, we'll
so
wake
not
her
the
up.
Backstreet Boys right. level.
Right, so yeah, so it'll wake her up in time for her stop.
Wow.
And then she gets to work and she's happy.
Stupid me. I just, you know, try to stay awake.
Yeah.
I could be doing something else.
Right. So thank you, Grace, very much.
Thank you. Wow.
Hilarious.
So I'm going to go right into penis news because I feel like, you know, we got to go the other way with this. It says, Italian couple suffers from penis captivus. Have you heard about this?
No.
While intimate in Porto San Giorgio Beach.
No,
so apparently there's a medical phenomenon out there called penis captivus, where the penis becomes trapped in the vagina during intercourse and cannot, the people cannot be separated.
Okay. That's some grip.
No, this is, you cannot be separated from each other.
Okay.
Like, you have to get EMS involved.
Wow.
ENT,
about this, because I'm thinking that it's a muscular thing, no?
It is, but it's like on steroids. Medical phenomenon called penis captivus has claimed an Italian couple. The situation is when a woman's genitals captures the private parts of her male partner's anatomy while engaged in sexual intercourse. It's rare but embarrassing. And often you need medical assistance to become unstuck.
Rare yet embarrassing.
Yeah. However, in the case of the young couple, it was a double dose of red faces as they were getting it on in the water at the beach. And they became stuck together. So they were in there, they're having a good time, happy as Larry.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe
doing
even
it.
Happy as a clam, even, shall we say. And they're stuck in there. They can't get out. They're trying to flag people down.
Get it? They're like, no, we're not swingers. You're on your own.
So it took them a while. Because they were literally, the water made it worse, so they were suctioned together as well.
That's terrible.
So they remained locked until a woman with a towel came by and helped them walk to shore.
Oh.
This is like,
oh my God.
It's like the worst sack race ever. Like a three-legged race. And then they called a medic, and they took the people to the local hospital. They then had to inject the woman with a
muscle relaxer.
Muscle relaxer that dilates the cervix, and then the guy was
free
at clear. Last. I know. How embarrassing. They had to put
like
them on a stretcher together.
Side by side.
And then take them off the stretcher and then transfer them to, you know, another bed. I mean, this sounds like a nightmare.
What brings this on? I've never heard of it. Now I'm like,
it's
nervous.
Just something that happens. I guess I don't know how evolutionarily, maybe we should ask scientists about this. Evolutionarily, I guess there must have been a point at which women's vaginas were like, I don't think you're leaving anytime soon.
Right. When women ruled the world.
Yes, this
it was
is
like,
the way
you're not going until we're done.
Yeah. Penis captivus. So Cosmopolitan magazine reports of a similar situation in Zimbabwe. It's always Zimbabwe, isn't it? It's never any other country in Africa, where a couple were locked for 7 hours.
Ew.
Before they were separated with the help of the man's father.
No.
A few years ago, a similar rumor hounded a Filipino celebrity pair who allegedly were rushed to a Manila hospital wrapped in a blanket. But they denied that it happened. Okay. My thing is just like, it's just so bizarre. You never know what's going to happen. So, no. Gentlemen, be aware. That's all. That's all I'm saying. Be aware.
And don't plan anything for later in the day.
Yeah, you never know when penis captive strikes. And you'll be stuck there. Help us. You know, I'm getting the idea that maybe this doesn't happen to very young people. Otherwise, we would have heard about it when we were growing up. Right. I don't know why this isn't the urban legend. It's always the hot dog and the Coke bottle. No, this is where the urban legend needs to be.
I've never heard of this. I can't believe
it. Penis captive. May it never happen to anyone that we know, that we like. What a nightmare. You have to be separated from your partner by you.
Now this is something else to worry about.
By your partner's father coming. Help us get out of here.
So everybody do their kinkles.
Yes, I guess. Or don't.
No, do them because then you'll have more power, control.
You'll have more control. I was just thinking it'll be even worse. It's more captivating, as it were. All right, so it's penis news.
All right. So let's move on to another part of the body.
Oh, no.
Okay, this is...
Is it the appendages episode?
Probably.
Body parts?
We had a guest on a few weeks ago, Al Crisafulli, from Sugar Blast Music Company. Go back and listen to that episode. It was really great. Well, he was telling us about this sour toe cocktail.
That just sounds bad.
Yeah.
Sour toe.
Basically,
is a foot involved?
A toe is involved.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so basically...
I'm tempted to say gather round because this sounds horror.
This was established in 1973. It's a sour toe cocktail, and it has become a Dawson City tradition, and it is exactly what it sounds like. It's an actual human toe that has been dehydrated and preserved in salt and served in a drink.
Why?
According to the story, a Yukon
local...
What is
wrong with white people? What happened in this town that they just forgot about everything, their culture? There's so many wonderful things. I don't know.
Yeah. Okay, according to the story, Yukon local Captain Dick Stevenson found the toe preserved in a jar of alcohol while cleaning a cabin in 1973.
And thought, this will make a great...
Yeah, after discussing it with friends...
Garnish.
Captain Dick... preserved and started serving the toe in a sour toe cocktail at the El Dorado Hotel Bar.
Sorry, when you say started serving the toe, did he keep transferring the toe from drink to drink?
Yeah, they keep the toe behind the bar, basically. It says the first toe is said to have belonged to a miner and a rum runner named Louis Lycan, who had, it was frostbitten, so it came off, and it was preserved in a jar of alcohol.
Let me just say that my why white people comment is because I'm sure other cultures would do something like this, but they would have, like, some religious significance, or some, it would be a talisman. This is just a dude's toe in a drink. Like, there's no reason for this.
There's no reason. No, you put it in, you can have any kind of drink you want. It can be a beer, it could be a mixed drink, it could be a shot.
And they throw that toe in there.
And they throw the toe in there, and it becomes a sour toe cocktail, and then you have to drink it, and the toe has to touch your lips.
Ew, see what I'm saying? If that doesn't, serve some religious or mystical purpose, forget it.
Yeah.
How long has this toe been around?
This toe has been around since, the first toe started in 1973. They started doing this drink. But what has happened, you probably have had a few drinks before you get to the sour toe.
I'm just here for the sour toe cocktail.
And especially, people like to do it in a shot because you get it over rather quickly. However, if you're a little drunk and you do a shot, sometimes that toe goes right down with you. They're on their 12th toe at this point because people keep swallowing them.
There's no way. I mean, I probably wouldn't do this drink, but for damn sure it would be with a straw.
I'm savoring
my toe. Oh, I'll pick it up and put it on my lip and put it back down.
Yeah.
But I'm like, no.
That's how you're going to handle it.
No, it doesn't sound right.
And
that's how I would handle it, yes.
If you swallow the toe, then it's a $500 fine.
What?
Yeah. They fine you $500.
They should thank you for relieving them. sour toe cocktail.
Yeah, and so because people swallow them, they have an ad out saying, you know, if anyone wants to donate their toes.
Anyone loses a toe.
Yeah, send it to us. And so they keep getting new toes.
That's bizarre. From people. I don't know what to say. All right.
Would you do this? Look at it.
No, that looks awful.
Yeah, it's nasty. Listeners, you can Google the sour toe cocktail.
It looks like it has an ingrown toenail to boot.
Yeah.
That was not what I was expecting to see. That's awful. Well, I have something here that's frightfully awful as well.
Yeah.
It's, you know, we all voted. I did so grudgingly because I was like, these MFs again.
Oh, right.
But it says here, before the voting, Democrats shame voters with mailers. Now, I'm not a Democrat. I did not get one of these. You are. Maybe you did. Mm-hmm. Basically, the Democratic Party was sending out postcards and letters to more than 800,000 New Yorkers this week to give them grades based on how often they had voted. And told them that in 2014, their voting would be watched.
Really?
So the Democratic Party is saying this to the voters. You haven't voted. You know, you need to vote. Like, we're going to be keeping an eye on you.
Why don't you vote? We're going to be on you. I'm not in New York, so no. Okay. This didn't happen in New Jersey.
So it says the New York mailers were sent by the Democratic Committee who went to voters who were seen as strong party supporters, but not always reliable when it comes to voting. So people were like, rah, 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 and then don't vote.
It's like a snooze alarm.
75% of the mailers
were sent.
They
need the little roosters so they would get up in the morning and go and vote.
People would vote.
Yeah.
About 75%.
They should give them out.
I see problems with that. I like the idea, but I see problems. What's wrong with the sticker? We're not doing that anymore.
No.
Now we're giving out a vibrator.
Yeah.
Well, everyone's over 18.
Yeah.
About 75% of the mailers were sent to voters in New York City, depending on their histories. They received one of four grades: excellent, good, fair, or incomplete. They said the flyer is a part of the nationwide Democratic response to Republican voter suppression efforts. I don't see how those two things are together.
Wait.
So they're saying the Republicans are trying to stop people from voting. They're trying to muscle in and force people to vote by scaring them. They believe that our democracy works better when more people vote, not less.
Well, yeah, sure.
David Laska, spokesman for the New York State Republican Committee, says the mailers implicitly threaten voters, calling it beyond the pale and inexcusable. Basically, it says, at the end of one of the letters, it says, if you do not vote this year, we will be interested to hear why not. Says, I think that last line has a threatening tone to it.
I think so.
Says Jay Jacobs of the Nassau County Democratic Committee. Some of the mailers, you know, I don't think that's where we're going to go about it. Can you believe that?
I can't.
If you do not vote this year, we will be interested to hear why not.
Well, are you ready for the answer? Are you ready for, like, you guys stink?
Yes.
Your candidates.
This is
stink.
What I'm saying is the people are not voting because they don't feel any way about some of these candidates. Like, some people don't have a negative or positive response. They have no response at all. Or they don't like any of them.
Oh, yeah. Or they're not speaking to who they are.
Yeah. Not a single thing I got through the mail this year had anything to do with me. Mm-hmm. That I got, like, you know, go out and vote for this issue or for that issue. Some of the people were running unopposed. I think some people secretly didn't even want anyone to come out. They just get their friends out and then they win.
Right.
But I mean, to say, if you don't vote, we're
watching you.
We're
going to
find
radio.
Out. Yeah, we want to know why. Yeah.
Excellent. Takes a lot of nerve.
So excellent is you voted in three or four of the last four general elections. First of all, how do they know this? I think that's weird because it's supposed to be anonymous that we're voting, right? So they shouldn't really be able to track whether or not I voted.
Right.
In addition to how I voted.
Right. And they're not allowed to talk to you. You know, nobody is allowed to approach you within like 500 feet of a polling facility, too.
Yeah. Well, they're usually where I am at whatever it is. They're either 51 or 501 feet.
Right.
There's like a ring of people who are like, hey!
Yeah.
But they know how many times you voted. I think that's kind of creepy.
That is creepy. That's,
Yeah, so watch out. Your party knows if you vote or not.
I vote.
They shouldn't know. I vote, too, but it's really no one's business.
Yeah, right. They're
whether
not,
you
they're
vote
not
or
supposed
not.
To.
Yeah, don't send that shit to me. If you don't vote, we're going to find out why.
Yeah.
We'll be interested to know why. It's like the mob.
Yeah.
In any case.
Well, at least they're doing something.
I guess. Like, at least they're doing something. I want them to say it would be like, that's it, you're out. You're not voting, F you.
Yeah, it's like, who are they to grade you and come after you?
Yes, but by not voting, you're actually grading them, by the way. They should understand that.
Yeah.
So the fact that people are not coming out to vote, it's not the voters' fault. It's their fault.
Yeah.
They can't, like, get their own people to come out and vote. That's
it's
on
like,
them.
Why are you leaving me? Because you beat me.
Yeah. Well, why did I have to beat you?
It's kind of a relationship.
Yeah.
That's terrible.
All right, what do you have?
Weekend bigots.
Oh, the weekend bigots. This is a segment where we find phrases that have somehow gotten into the water supply and are used daily, but they're actually racist.
Yeah, and you shouldn't be
in
saying
their origin.
Them.
Yeah, you should not say them.
So one of them.
We've been using the peanut gallery like there's no tomorrow.
I know. It's terrible.
It's a great phrase.
It's cute.
It is cute.
Well, it sounds really cute.
Except
but
for
it's not.
Racist past. It's very cute.
the term for the week is off the reservation. You should not say off the reservation.
I've never said it before. I was thinking about dinner reservations, but that's clearly not it.
No. It's a term used to indicate that someone is renegade, who's potentially dangerous.
Oh, I didn't even know that.
Yeah, so if you know, like Jack Bauer on 24 when he is, you know, running around and going, when he went dark and he's doing things without supervision or without working with his agency.
So he's going rogue.
He's going rogue. He's off the reservation.
Oh, I've never heard anyone say off. Have you heard people say off the reservation?
Not real. I mean, I've heard of it. Yeah, I've heard people say it. It's off the reservation. And it was originally used to refer to an Indian, a Native American, who wasn't all penned up like a zoo animal in a reservation by the government, as they write here.
Nice.
Okay, put two and two together, you can easily see how the implication is that any Native American who is off the reservation is a dangerous renegade.
Wow.
Yeah.
And it's, I like the idea of positioning Native Americans as dangerous because, really?
Yeah, so it's...
Really?
Right, right. So if you're not living on the reservation, like the government tells you to do,
you're dangerous.
Native American, you're considered dangerous. Because
there's nothing scarier than a people who've been decimated to the point of just, like, there's almost nothing left.
Right.
Frightening.
Yeah. So
off the reservation.
Yeah.
I like it. Off the res. All right, so I have a Hey You Didn't Know It. This was sent in by Greg, my husband.
Okay.
And there's a sad little picture of a factory, and then there's two guys in suits, and a bunch of townspeople standing around looking sad.
Sounds great. Thanks, Greg.
And it says here, a rancher who's all hat and no cattle, which means someone who talks the talk but doesn't walk the walk. In 2010, now this is a Hey You Didn't Know It, news of the oblivious living among us. So let me know when you think something funny is going on.
Okay.
In 2010, a Beverly Hills lawyer...
Ding, ding.
Yes. Named Bruce Cole promised to bring economic opportunity to the small Missouri town of Moberly. He claimed to run a thriving business manufacturing the artificial sweetener, sucralose, in China, and said he wanted to move operations to America because he wanted a Made in the USA label.
Okay.
Cole wanted to build a state-of-the-art factory that would operate 24 hours a day and employ 612 people. All he needed was the money.
Oh, okay.
So, Moberly officials gave him an approval for $39 million worth of municipal bonds. But this company soon collapsed. The $30 million was gone. The employees had been laid off, and with it, the recently purchased equipment was just sitting in an open building unfinished.
My God.
This poor town had a population of $14,000. Their annual budget was $7 million. They gave this guy $39 million. Apparently, the lawyer, Bruce Cole, his Beverly Hills home was about to go into foreclosure, and he had a lot of debt. So he took the money and first saved his home, and then just started spending money. Turned out there was no factory in China. There were no Chinese investors. There was nothing. All he had were worthless patents and blueprints.
For stuff that didn't even work.
That didn't exist. And these people gave him $39,000 because of some pieces of paper. They weren't the first choice. He went to a town in Bismarck who told him to basically go F himself. The guy didn't bring any financials. He didn't even bring any of the sucralose.
Oh, my God.
He had nothing.
Nothing.
We have an expression up here, a rancher who's all hat and no cattle.
Yeah, he's just a con artist.
I can't even, but he is a great con artist because he conned an entire town out of $39 million.
Wow.
$39 million. He didn't have the sucralose.
It's just,
there was Like, usually, I'm thinking, like, I don't know how to con people. I don't know if you do either. I've never con. Like,
no.
I would probably have some
opposite of con.
Yeah.
I say everything.
But I would probably go with the package of the things and, like, a big song and dance. Like, you wouldn't think you could just roll up into town with a blueprint and a story.
Right.
And get $39 million, but apparently you can.
Talking to the right people.
The mayor of that town right now is probably just eating some serious crow.
I can't believe that.
But it's like, hey, you didn't know it. Some guy from Beverly Hills shows up and is like, I want to put a factory and employ the whole town in this factory. Well, what do you have? This here piece of paper.
Yeah. And what's it going to cost us? $39 million.
Just $39
million? Yeah. Deal.
Deal. After, I like the idea, too, that another town was like, get out of here.
I keep
but didn't warn anybody.
You keep questioning people. Like, you question a con artist, and you watch them just kind of recycle the same thing they've been telling you.
Yes.
And you listen to this recycled nonsense over and over in a different way. It's like, you're not telling me anything new. Get out of here.
Apparently, this guy, and there's a picture of him, too, and he just looks like...
He does. He's like, oops.
Oh, I've been caught.
I took your $39 million.
I wonder how many other towns he went. I wonder if it was just like a road show. He's like, I got to find one podunk town that'll get into this. $39 million.
Well, that was that it's worth his while, right? $39 million for...
He's looking at 5 to 7.
Really?
Yeah. So, hey, you didn't know it? Fancy lawyer shows up claiming to be from Beverly Hills, wanting to make a sugar factory in your town.
Yeah.
Probably not legit.
Jeez.
Hey, You Know It is now on Stitcher. Listen to us on your iPhone, Android phone, Kindle Fire, and other devices with Stitcher. Stitcher is smart radio for your phone. Find it in your app store or at Stitcher.com.
Well, speaking of law.
Okay.
This is robot news.
Okay, so Katie and I are freaked out by the coming robot apocalypse, and it's coming, people. I heard it's going to be next year.
Mm-hmm.
So we like to keep abreast of what's going on in the robotics world.
We have talked, we've addressed the idea of, like, cars that drive themselves and robots that do surgery. Because, actually, robots do one of four things we've come to realize.
You can sleep with them.
You can have sex with them. They will do surgery on you.
Mm-hmm.
They'll
kill you.
It's for military use and for company for the elderly.
Yes, company for the elderly. Companionship.
Okay. So, here we are with the self-driving car. If it causes an accident or a surgical robot kills a patient, whose fault is it?
I don't know. Is it their manufacturers?
Is it?
Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah, you know, there are...
I'm not sure, but I can charge you $400 an hour to get a law firm to figure it out for you.
Yeah, the self-driving car has already logged thousands of miles on public roads. In May, California became the first U.S. state to allow testing of driverless cars on these roads. And the U.K. is going
creepy.
To do it in 2015.
Is there just a passenger? Yeah. Like, just someone sitting in the passenger seat drinking a beer?
Yeah, you know. What about the safety? I mean, if you have a self-driving car and it gets into an accident...
With another self-driving car?
With anyone.
Who's at fault?
Yeah. Who's at fault?
I don't know.
Does insurance pay?
Well, hopefully... they're saying that the driverless car should decrease the amount of, accidents overall.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe everyone's insurance will go down and it will just pay somehow.
Mm-hmm,
I don't know. There's got to be some way to do it. That's my completely non-lawyer way of figuring that one out.
Right.
So what do they say?
They're addressing it.
Oh, okay.
They don't know because what kind of ethics, you know.
What's going to happen when my robot kills somebody?
Yeah, and the robotic surgery systems
after I've programmed
used,
it to kill someone. Is it my fault?
Robots can improve the accuracy of a surgeon and you can even remotely operate on patients. But if something goes wrong, is it because the surgeon is telling the robot to do... the thing and the surgeon is wrong and it does the wrong thing.
Or is it a manufacturer's issue?
The manufacturer is it. Yeah, right.
That's interesting. Who will be at fault?
They're trying to...
I mean, it wasn't me. It was the robot lady.
Yeah. And then they have robot prosthetics. If there is a robot prosthesis and...
it grabs somebody. Their tit, for example.
Right.
Who's liable for sexual harassment?
Yeah.
Is it the robot hand or the smiling guy standing behind it?
Yeah, right. Or the care robots, the ones that care for the elderly, if they don't do a good job.
And what if they mistreat grandma?
Right.
Tell her she's old and useless. Who's at fault now?
Yeah, it's like they're saying, it's the user then who has the control over the machine. So it's the user then who's programming it wrong. But
who knows? Who's to say? Right. It's a conundrum.
Right. So we're going to, this is another area that we're going to have to watch and see.
I'm sure lawyers cannot wait to charge for this. It's all going to be litigation.
Yeah,
only the lawyers will win.
New laws have to come about because there are no
existing laws.
I find
it scary, though, because our politicians can barely understand, like, how to use email. And mm-hmm. they're going to try to make some legislation based around this. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Robot Congress. So I have something here that's quite easy to understand.
Okay.
There's a channel called FYI.
It's a what?
FYI, for your information.
Yeah,
it's a TV
yeah.
channel.
Oh, it's a TV
I just
channel.
Noticed it.
Okay.
You have like 1,000 channels,
yeah,
so
yeah,
it's
yeah.
probably in there. But I saw this advertisement for this show, for a reality show, called Tiny House Nation.
Oh,
have
right,
you
right.
heard about this? So basically there's like a mania of, and it's mostly just like kind of these like crunchy white people.
Right.
And they want to live in a really, really small house.
People are trying to keep it simple.
Under 500 feet.
Square feet.
Yes,
right?
In a house.
And they're like, we want to cut down on all the expenses, the extraneous BS.
The thing is, they're not cheap.
Yeah.
These tiny houses are very expensive, from what I can understand. And they have everything in them. It's more, it's like a fetish, you know, of like tiny and compact.
Yeah, it's like everything is going to be green and
yes.
And
but then I saw them transporting their house on a trailer from place to place, which doesn't seem very green.
No.
So it's tiny, tiny houses. Basically, it's a show where they follow the people around. It follows host John Weisbarth and renovation expert Zach Giffen as they travel across America to show off ingenious small spaces and the inventive people who live in them. Along the way, they help families design and construct their own mini dream. Can you imagine being a child and then your parents all of a sudden one day, you know what we need? A really tiny house. All this space.
Yeah. That you can, all this room of your own.
Yes, all
privacy.
That room of your own where you're having your friends and using your computer and all that. We don't want that anymore. We want a tiny house.
We want to see everything you're doing.
So,
and we want you to see everything we're doing.
There's also a show called Tiny House Hunting.
Ew.
They follow realtors as they help a pair of tiny home seekers find a perfect existing mini home for their family. Mm-hmm. I hope their family is mini as well. That sounds awful. So it's a Tiny House Nation, and apparently there are two shows. People have written that they're super excited for the second season. I would just say I'm a little excited.
Why don't they just come and live in an apartment in New York and have that experience?
That's what it is to me. It's like 500 square feet. I know a lot of people who have 500 square foot apartments in New York, and they don't want that.
Yeah,
they would like
space.
A larger apartment.
Right. Everybody wants a larger.
A teeny tiny house with tiny little people
that's
and
terrible.
Tiny little chairs. Tiny house hunting?
Tiny kitchen.
I feel like for tiny house hunting, are they just going around with like a fucking magnifying glass? Like trying to get like
smaller
tiny
and smaller
house hunting.
You know, there was this article went around just recently where this teenager, a young boy, he, for a science project or whatever, he built his own little tiny house.
Mm-hmm.
But he saved his money. He had like 2 part-time jobs and at the end, he bought the wood and, built the frame and, you know, went through dumpsters and got different parts and stuff.
Well, this guy's up to his neck in pussy.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Everyone's like, oh, isn't he so, wonderful? He's making his own little house and what a great guy. Like, he's such an industrious young man.
For making a tiny, tiny house.
It's a little fuck house.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm like,
how old is
it's
he?
It's on the edge of time. I'm sorry, the edge of town, kind of like, hey, come by my tiny house, wink, wink.
Right.
We're
going to
do some tiny fun.
Yeah. We have a place to party and bring girls.
Yeah.
That's what he's doing.
Well,
he's a teenager.
2 girls, maybe, because it's tiny.
It doesn't matter. He's like, it's got a little shower, it's got a little, like, cook stove, it's got everything.
It's tiny.
He has this little bed. And I'm
see,
like,
if you were a real teen, it would just be a bed. You just walk in and fall into a bed. It's a tiny house right
there. Yeah,
right.
Freaking, and there are just, I was laughing at all the adults making the comments saying, oh, he's so wonderful. What a nice, upstanding young man. He's fucking girls.
Yeah, he's fucking girls in there.
Yeah.
Good for him.
Yeah, exactly.
Or
but,
boys, whatever.
Whatever.
But just a few people because it's
at
tiny.
A time.
It's just, this is the kind of stuff that's just so, like, twee.
Yeah.
It's annoying to me because it's people of our generation, too. And I'm like, I liked it better when it was Bob Vila doing shit.
Yeah.
Like the stuff that the shows that I'm seeing now that are people our age, I'm like, this is mad corny.
Yeah.
Son. Not interested.
Yeah.
Teeny tiny house. Can you, if someone invited you over and they had a tiny house, what would you do? I wouldn't go inside.
I wouldn't go in.
I'd be like, why don't we meet at a
I'd hate it. I'd hate bar. It. I'd smile and be in it and I'd leave. I don't want to. No, I don't want to meet someone in their tiny house.
But here's the thing. It's like, don't you want to have guests? I guess that's a, see, that's a part of it. Yeah. It's a lifestyle where it's like, it's just, you know, it's just Todd and Rebecca.
Yeah,
you all can. The time in their tiny house with their tiny little cups and their tiny, I don't know.
And tiny, tiny good times.
Yeah, and their tiny expectations. Tiny good times. I don't know. I'll try to watch one show because I don't like to be biased, but you can see where I'm going with this already.
Yeah.
I have a feeling I'm not going to like their tininess.
No. I don't either.
It's just weird.
Yeah. Teeny laughs.
Think about that guy who's like in the tiny stuff. They're the teeny little laughs. I'm going to bring a big gulp into the house. F this.
Yeah, see this? Mm-hmm. This big gulp big, is bigger than your,
yeah, than your tiny house. Good Lord. This studio is bigger than that tiny house.
Yeah.
Can you imagine living in this? No.
No.
Exactly.
No.
Not at all. I'm not saying you have to have a McMansion, people. I'm just saying.
You just got to have room.
Yeah, you have to
stretch out your legs.
What's the bathroom in the tiny house? It's also in the kitchen? Oh, I don't know. Is the sink the toilet? It's like, what's going
on?
Forget it.
Forget it.
All right, what do you have?
Just a quick announcement.
Okay.
Okay. Listeners, if you listened again to Al Crisafulli's episode a few weeks ago, we talked a little bit about Stuyvesant and their new album, Stuyvesant Schmivesant.
Do you have some updates?
It's out.
It's out.
It's out now, people. It came out on the 25th of November.
Nice.
So go get it. It's a nice stocking stuffer, I think.
I enjoyed it. I listened to all of the music. I really liked it. I didn't know what kind of music it was going to be because I'd heard so many other different things from Al's other label.
Yeah.
But I really enjoyed it. Really cool band.
Yeah. If you want to hear more about it, go back to episode 179.
Yeah. And I included
Sugar
some
Blasting
music
there. Sugar Blasting FOC, so you can hear a little bit. And go to Sugar Blast Music Company and
check
it out.
There, I read this article and I just thought it was so sad because, first of all, I didn't know that the cubicle, we all know what cubicles are.
Yes.
The cubicle was invented by someone. I didn't know that. I thought it came about just kind of like as
organically,
people
were just like, I need a little privacy.
Yeah,
like,
but actually,
I don't want to hear Jing.
It's really sad because while the cubicle today is seen as a symbol of drudgery and office work, the control that companies have over their employees, the design was originally meant to give workers more freedom. It was introduced in 1968.
Really? Mm-hmm. Okay.
So it says what we call the cubicle was actually first marketed as the Action Office 2. And it was the second attempt of a designer, Robert Probst, to create a workstation that gave people individual autonomy and the ability to work in a variety of settings. So it came out of a good idea. So initially it had the adjustable walls that make up the modern cubicle were meant to be kept at a 120-degree angle so that you could have privacy.
Oh, okay.
Which is a great idea. But also it will allow you to interact with other people if you needed to. The Action Office 2 contained push-pin walls that people could personalize, several levels of shelving, and room for both standing and a seated desk.
It sounds like an excellent idea as you read
about
it.
The idea was to give people the flexibility in the space to move seamlessly between various individual and collaborative tasks. Now, sadly, the guy watched companies become really interested in just saving the money. So companies readjusted the cubicles to make them as small and as tight as possible to fit in as many people as possible into a really small space.
So
to make a box. It was never supposed to be a box.
Really?
It was not supposed to be called a cubicle or a cube. It was supposed to be the Action Office, too, if you will. In 1997, 3 years before Probst's death, the New York Times estimated that about 40 million people were working in cubicles. And the guy went to his grave, like, dismayed. And he said, the cubicalizing of people in modern corporations is monolithic insanity. He was really upset that his creation, which he thought was going to be, you know, helping people out, the Action Office, too, became really a symbol of, like, drudgery and corporate hell.
See, I would, too.
This guy was not a bit oblivious, but I have to give it a hey, you didn't know it, because whenever you give something over to corporate, it's always going to be about cost cutting, right? And it's not going to be about, like, fun and happiness.
Right. It's about increased productivity.
Yeah. When I worked in tech, I thought it was funny that people were like, oh, well, they have all these things in the office. Like, they're giving us food, and we have ping pong, and we have cots. I'm like, they don't want you to go home. They don't care about your food. The foosball is just like, you know,
it's to make
a distraction.
Right, so that
you think you're having a good time when you're working like 18 hours a day and sleeping on a cot. Why is a cot fun?
Okay, people are, you know, when they invent things or come up with a new idea, it's always a very high-minded idea. They have the best, you know, I think when television came about, it was this great idea where people were going to have information.
And present things in a new way.
Educational.
Yeah. The arts, entertainment.
Yeah, it was going to be, you know, the best of the best that was going to be distributed and
culture.
It was going to be great. And then now look at television today.
Soap operas came along. Because you need to make money.
Yeah.
You need to make money. You get Tiny House. From Masterpiece Theater.
Okay.
With Sir Alastair Cook, the tiny friggin' house.
Yeah.
Two. And Tiny House Hunting.
Yeah. Honey Boo Boo.
Yeah.
I have advice.
Oh, great. Advice on Advice is a section that we do where we find advice on the internet that stinks.
And it's unqualified.
Yeah. And we improve upon it by giving our advice on the advice. Hence, Advice on Advice.
Right. This one is called Office Thief.
Oh, God. That's the worst.
This is, I work at a small office of about a dozen people. We often...
Oh, it's even worse. You could figure out who it was. Oh, no.
We often work late hours, and I usually leave a couple of sets of gym clothing in my desk. Last Friday, I wanted to take some of my used clothing home after a busy week and notice...
Please do take your used clothing home.
There should be
a rule against that.
Right. And notice all my used underwear was missing.
Huh?
I know I did not misplace three sets. And lots of people have been working on a big project all week.
How did she have three pair of stank underwear
in her
drawer?
Desk drawer?
They probably, it was a health hazard.
Yeah, probably they probably did a drew straws. Who was going to take it and throw it out? How do I bring up the subject of the theft?
With Lysol and a pair of tongs.
There are several people who have access to my desk and a couple of people I suspect. What do I do? It says, the answer is obviously this calls for kind of an Agatha Christie tribunal, in which you gather all the suspects around the conference table and lay out your evidence. Dick, at a meeting, you were about to sneeze, and when you reached for the handkerchief, instead you pulled my thong out of your pocket.
Okay, I take issue with that.
You know.
This is not how, I'm down with the gather everybody together to figure out who the murderer is, but this is not how you do it.
Yeah, she goes on with a couple of other things here and says... Then says, yes, you likely have a pervert in your midst, so you're going to be looking at every guy in the office with a queasy feeling. But I'm afraid this is one of those things you just have to handle in a preventative manner. Unless you catch the thief red-handed, you cannot confront somebody about this without evidence.
You gotta put a couple more panties in there and like booby trap the panties.
And you should put trackers on them.
Yeah, something.
Or like ink explodes.
Yeah, something. Like a dye pack?
Yeah, dye pack.
You know, because you could just get those wherever.
Yeah. And says to this thing, put it up to their face. As you know they're doing.
But you have them, you just know you put like something in the drawer.
Oh.
So when they open it, it flies out of them.
No, but it has to be attached to the panty because they could go in your drawer looking
so
for
maybe,
a search.
Maybe some old school, like some super glue action. Like once they touch the panty, they can't put it down.
It's in their hand.
Then you put a small camera in there. You have a picture of a guy running around with a panty.
Yeah.
Maybe then if the panty could burst into flames. I don't know. Just an idea.
How'd you get this 3-degree burns job?
I have no idea, but you know,
it's on your nose and your fingers.
I was grilling.
On your nose.
I was grilling something.
She goes on, you can go to HR so at least there's notification about this, but I assume they're unlikely to send a memo asking employees not to
Who would sniff a panties? Gerald, I know it was you. Wow. That's a bold move.
Yeah.
Why did you take one pair?
You took three.
Why not just take one and leave the other? Because he's addicted.
Yeah.
He can't help himself.
It's like, these are all different days.
Once again, in America, there are many ways to satisfy your urge to sniff a panty. You don't need to steal from a colleague.
Yeah. So the advice is either store your gym clothes in a secure place or take them home with you at the end of each day. I think that was the lesson.
Yes.
I think the lesson was don't store them here.
Don't store funky.
So I think it was everybody else in the office saying, you know what? We're so tired of the funky drawer.
Yes. Because keep in mind, it's not that they're used underwear. Sure. She worked out in these.
Yeah.
So unless you're just doing like a light yoga.
Maybe.
It's inappropriate to leave soiled undergarments.
Yeah.
Would you keep like some old socks? I don't know. It doesn't make any sense.
So they said, okay, let's take all the panties, throw them out, yeah. and then she'll be so freaked out she'll never put she'll anything never in say there anything. Again. I think that's what happened.
Yeah, I agree with you. I agree with you. And I think the advice should be, don't, I'm just telling you from everybody on behalf of everyone that you work with, don't keep any dirty underwear in your desk for days. For days.
Dirty, sweaty.
Or for a day. It's a gym. That's what the gym bag is for you. What is in your gym bag? Food?
Yeah.
You know, like, what are you keeping in there?
And why? In your desk.
So you're coming from the gym and putting the panties in your desk. Like, let's walk me through this one. I work out. I come back. I empty my gym bag out. And I put the contents in my gym bag securely in my desk drawer.
Yeah.
For a couple days. Then on Friday, I take 5, 6, 7 pair of underwear home.
Yeah.
No. Something
just
is wrong.
Keep it in your bag. Keep it in your car. What's wrong with you?
Yeah. I don't know.
Thank you for listening to Hey You Know It. Stay in touch with us during the week. Follow us on Twitter. Follow us on Tumblr. Go to iTunes and leave us a 5-star review. We'll read it on an upcoming show, regardless of content.
And we'll send you an official Hey You Know It shot glass as a token of our appreciation. As always, we love your emails. Send us an email at heyyouknowit@gmail.com with your comments, questions, and segment ideas. Emails will also be read on upcoming shows. And yes, you will receive an official Hey You Know It shot glass as well.
Please tell your friends about us, because you know we don't advertise, and let them know we can be found on iTunes, at Stitcher.com, and at HeyYouKnowIt.com. Thanks.
Why wouldn't you just take the panties home? They're not heavy.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I think these people got together and said, what is the best way to make sure she'll never do it again, because we can't tell her that her stuff stinks.
Yeah.
What is the best way?
They should have left a post-it note that said, yum. That would really freak her out. And she would never leave anything like that in there.